Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is the midweek edition of the Daily Tip on the MGM Network. Hope you're having a great morning. Coming up, we'll get started by telling you about our best bets from last night. And the Eagles all fired up about the tush push all over again. The story just will not go away. Then, if Philly makes the Super Bowl, who will play at the halftime show? The odds are out. We've got my streaming corner at 640. We're going to whine about it on this Wednesday, and we'll talk Big Ten football with Anthony Herron from Sirius XM Radio. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Chelsea, it is a Wednesday. Good morning to you.
It is a Wednesday, and you know that's my least favorite day of the week, especially during football season, because we got nothing to look forward to. We have daytime baseball, like maybe a couple games to follow, and listen, after last night's baseball debacle, I'm not looking forward to it. Like, come on, man. Paul Skenes was in the circle of trust, and what do the Pirates do? What do the Cubs do? They score all of the runs in the entire game in the first five innings. Of course, we had the first five under, and they're like, oh, no. Statistically, this bullpen is terrible, but tonight, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be Mariano Rivera out there. I don't know who these guys are, but they locked it up in the final few innings of that game, and it cost us our win. So I'm not feeling great about the slate today.
Well, that's all right. We'll look at the slate earlier on in the show, but even though we lost that game, you got to win in the Brewers game, so that was nice.
Yeah, that's true. Another 1-1 night, just middling on the middle of the week on a Wednesday. So here's the best bet. So we had the Cubs Pirates first five under 3.5. As I just complained about, the Cubs led 4-1. Paul Skenes gave up runs? Question mark. And then we did have the Brewers on the run line, which was an easy winner. Brewers topped the Angels 9-2. So that was a win, 1-1 for me. And Jenks, I was following your Yankees bet, and it looked like an easy winner. Like, I don't know what inning I checked it in. But I didn't check, like, the last two innings or something. I feel for you. That is a bad beat.
Ooh, at least it was a push. Thank God.
Correct.
And normally, in a game like that, I would go with Yankees run line, which is -1.5, obviously. But I've been working these minus ones just out of curiosity. And I'm glad I did, because the Yankees jumped out to a massive lead. Then the Twins came back. And then the Yankees led 10-8 in the ninth. The Twins got one. So it ended up being a Yankees win 10-9. That's a push. I was also in the Brewers and the Pirates first five under as well. So a 1-1-1 night for me. Dockster had Cubs Pirates under 7. He was the lucky one. Cubs lead 4-1, or win that game 4-1. So for the week, Chelsea, you are 2-2. I'm 3-2-1. The Dockster, a perfect 2-0 here on the Daily Tip. It is great to have you with us on a Wednesday morning here on the BetMGM Network. Oh, you're ready for this? Let's strap on in and get you ready for some more tush push talk. So we know what happened. Yeah, over the weekend, right? The Eagles, they beat the Chiefs. They run the tush push six times on Sunday in Kansas City. And so the Eagles are hearing some feedback now that they don't appreciate, which is, oh, this is all you guys do. Yesterday on WIP Radio, Jordan Mailata, the left tackle for the Eagles, sort of went off and said he's tired of hearing it.
I understand it. I understand the outrage. What I don't understand is them using it as an excuse to why we won the game.
Right.
I think it's incredibly disrespectful to our defense and our special teams who balled out. You know, my brother's on defense and special teams who balled out that game, who had our backs when we weren't moving the ball or we weren't doing anything. You know, and so when I see those things, and they fly, you know, they fly across my timeline here and there, I do my best to stay off social media, but you know, that kind of irks me a little bit. That pisses me off because we give so much to this game and to you know, kind of base off a short yardage play that is a football play.
Yeah.
And say that we won the game off that, but not how our defense played, not how our special teams have played, putting us in those positions. You know, I think it's bullcrap. Pardon my French. Hey, let me press this dump button.
No, bullcrap is fine.
I was gonna say a lot of other stuff, but you know, I just think it's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish, man. It makes my blood boil just thinking about it.
You know, for somebody who's complaining, whenever you have an accent, it always makes it sound like you're so polite. Like bullcrap and rubbish, you could be so much worse than that. But is he right? Is he right to be upset with this idea out there that the Eagles only won this game because of the tush push?
I saw this idea being floated around, and it even was on like the national talk shows. I think Adam Schefter was the one that said it, which I didn't know Adam Schefter was entering the arena of opinion talk as opposed to being like an insider. But it does feel unfair, especially because the Chiefs had several mistakes, you know, that you could pin the game on. You know, most notably the time when Travis Kelce, you know, had a finger on the ball and then, you know, tips it and the other team gets the ball. The Eagles get the ball for an interception in the end zone. Like, that felt like a bigger play to me. But at the end of the day, like, you cannot pin one game, one loss, one win, whatever, on one simple play. And, like, here's the thing. Like, the tush push has been legal. They have been doing it for a while. So until that changes, they're going to do it in the game. So you can't complain.
The way I look at it is that, you know, football is a complex game, like most sports are. And people tend to look at one play and have it define the entire game. And that's just not the way it works. You know, did Patrick Mahomes not miss a wide open receiver late in that game? Did Travis Kelce not bobble that pass intended for him, which turned into an interception? Did the Chiefs at times not protect Patrick Mahomes? Going back to the Super Bowl, I mean, the Eagles had a four-man front, and they harassed him all game. Like, the idea that the Eagles are just the tush push, and even in this game, yeah, they ran it six times, but they still have Saquon. They still have Jalen Hurts. They still have great receivers. They still dominate both lines of scrimmage. What about coaching? That matters as well. There's so much that goes into a win and or a loss. I understand at times it dominates their offense. I get that frustration. But the idea that it's all they do, I think, is a huge misnomer.
Yeah, I mean, did people see the Super Bowl? Like, that game was completely one-sided. Like, it wasn't just the tush push. And the Eagles had a dominating run in the postseason, too. Like, they weren't just beating opponents by 7 points. They were beating opponents by double digits. So I think nobody is even close to being correct if they're saying the Eagles are only the tush push. I think people are starting to get really frustrated with the tush push. And I'm starting to see even more like respected football people come out against it. Like Bill Cowher has started talking about how he doesn't like it and how it makes him really angry as well. But here's the thing. If it is a legal play, that's the end of it. But I think people are starting to break down the film and they say, hey, this guy's lined up in the neutral zone. You know, this guy's going off sides, whatever, where they're bending all the rules for this play to work. And that's where it gets murky. Because if the referees are not calling somebody lining up in the neutral zone, then that's a problem.
Yeah, that's the problem, is that I've come around to disliking the tush push. I think there's tush push fatigue here. Like, we're tired of seeing it. Okay, we're tired of talking about it, even though we're talking about it right now. We're tired of it influencing games because it's so poorly officiated. But I think that is really the issue at hand, which is, okay, you can be tired of it, but the Eagles aren't breaking any rules. Like, the NFL had a chance to ban this during the offseason. They didn't do it. It's going to get banned this offseason. Like, everyone has sort of come on board with, the problem is, not only is it maybe not a football play, it's more of a rugby play than anything else. It's not a true football play, but more than that, officials just don't know how to officiate it at all. Guys are jumping off sides, or you saw the Eagles guards, this video is going around, jumping ahead of the ball being snapped. And even when they try to spot the ball, they have to use that Hawkeye technology, which I know they do on fourth downs anyway. But the officials legitimately can't spot the ball. They don't know because it's this huge scrum. So if it's already kind of not a football play and you don't know how to officiate it any longer, then I think maybe it's worn out its usefulness in the NFL. Good on the Eagles for taking advantage of it, but I think it's time for it to come to a close, and that's going to happen after this season.
Yeah, or you have to teach, you know, referees how to officiate it. And, you know, maybe you call a 15-yard penalty on the play, and maybe that'll stop them from doing it. But already we're seeing, like, conspiracy flags start to fly. Like, Warren Sharp put this out there yesterday, saying that the NFL filed a copyright claim on the broadcast video showing the Eagles and how they were false starting on multiple tush pushes. I don't know what that means. Like, I think they're trying to take the video down, is like what I'm getting at. Is like when they file a copyright claim, they're like, hey, you can't post this video. So I don't know what the NFL has up their sleeve, but clearly they don't love it when somebody else is like in control and pointing out, hey, you guys are doing this wrong. So the NFL does not love that. So I would imagine they do something pretty quickly, especially when it's against the Chiefs. You know, because that's obviously one of the favorite children in the NFL of Roger Goodell. If it happened against another team, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion. But maybe since it's against the Chiefs, something will get done.
You know what it is? It's the new version of the Chiefs get all the calls. That's what it is. It's almost like, God, you guys always get the calls. I'm tired of this. You always get the calls. I'm tired of this. Well, now the power has shifted to Philadelphia. So it's, you guys, you only win because of the tush push. You only win because of the tush push, when there's a lot more to it than that. But I think the NFL will end up banning this during the offseason. Like, you can sort of feel the rumbling of people saying, I'm over this play. It can't be officiated. Even during the broadcast, I mean, didn't Fox go to Gene Serator or whoever it is, one of their experts, he's like, I'm over it. I don't know what to tell you guys. Like, I don't know what to tell you about the tush push. Like, even the guys sitting there whose jobs it is to break down every play or say, this is a penalty, it's not, are like throwing their hands up and saying, I don't know what to do here.
Right. So, like, think of us, the layperson, trying to figure all of this out. So it's just really difficult. But at least I can still appreciate the gamesmanship, because, you know, this is part of, you know, good coaching, is you find ways to exploit loopholes and you make them, turn them into an advantage for you, as opposed to, like, right now in Tennessee, we are dealing with a coach that doesn't even know the rules. He doesn't even know what a coach is. Brian Callen literally said it to the press that he didn't know what a catch was because he defined it the wrong way. So I do appreciate the Eagles, you know, at least trying to make the game work for them, even though it is a loophole. So maybe they should take advantage of it while they still can, because I do feel like in the end, the tush push will be no longer.
The Eagles are 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. To win the NFC, they're plus 350. That is behind the Packers. I mean, the Green Bay steam right now is a real thing. To win the NFC East, Eagles are minus 220. If you're the Eagles, knowing this is probably going to be gone next season, they were two votes short during the offseason of other teams were for of getting this banned. So do you think the Eagles should just embrace this and say, you know what? It's our final year, very likely. It's still legal. You may not stop it, and you're going to keep criticizing it. So guess what? We're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Why would you stop doing it? It's still legal.
Yeah.
So until the referees start enforcing, like, the neutral zone infractions, you still do it. Like, obviously, you're not going to do it more. Like, you're not going to do it on a 3rd and 13. But, like, if it's a short yardage situation, why would you not do it? So we will probably still see a little bit more of it in the games to come.
Yeah, I think we will. And if I'm the Eagles, I would absolutely lean into it. Like, I would do anything to make it us against the world. When you're the defending Super Bowl champions, it's already hard enough to repeat because everyone's coming after you, right? And so many things can go wrong, and things have to go right when you're trying to repeat. But anything you can do to sort of find some sort of motivation and say, okay, you don't think we can do the tush push, or we shouldn't be doing it, or this is the only way we're going to win games? Well, then maybe we'll do it 10 times a game. Maybe we'll do it 20 times a game. I mean, you already think if we do it 4 or 5 times a game, it's the only way we're winning games. Why not do it every play? We'll just get, you know, 3 yards every play. It'll be 4 downs every single drive, just grinding it out. Tush push, tush push, tush push, tush push. And we'll say it like that. If I'm Philly, I would lean into it completely and just absolutely stoke the ire of everyone in the NFL. I do it out of spite.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like something that people in Philly do already, you know, like they kind of like being
yeah.
hated. But I would use it as a team motivational tool saying, hey, it's us against the world, because there are also like storylines that are being floated about like AJ Brown right now that don't seem great for the team. Like when Colin Cowherd or whoever is like, AJ Brown needs to go to a different team. This is not going to end well. As a coach, you're like, whoa, that's not the issue. The issue is the world against us and the tush push. So don't look at those stories. Look at this one.
Yes. Look at all of our tushes being pushed. That's the stay away from him. Don't worry about him. Worry about the tushes here. Not going to go away. And neither is AJ Brown. You know that's going to be an issue at some point. Coming up next year on the show, it is never too early to bet on the Super Bowl, even if we're talking about the halftime show. The halftime show? Yeah, already. That and Dabo losing his mind. Coming up next on the Daily Tip, it is here on the BetMGM Network on a Wednesday. Come on back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for being along as we sort of get closer to the weekend. We're trying. Always trying here on the show. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Coming up, we predicted it, and it happened yesterday. Dabo Swinney speaking out after the loss at Georgia Tech. Yesterday, I talked to students at East Tennessee State University. Chelsea, with my friend Brad Bodie, who is now teaching that class. They're in Johnson City. Is that right, Tennessee? Am I getting that right? Probably not. But
close
it was interesting.
There.
I think it's close. Yeah, around there. So it was good. I didn't know how big the class was going to be. I did it virtually, but there were probably, I was on a Zoom call. And at first I thought there were only five kids because I saw five little screens or, you know, little boxes on my screen. And then I kept clicking and I was like, oh, wait a second. There's like 30, 35 kids here. So it was really interesting. I love discussing journalism and broadcasting, and I got a ton of questions, which was really great for me to sort of get that feedback, because you never know if people are genuinely interested in the craft or they're just taking a course just to get some hours in, whatever. But there was a lot of curiosity about, you know, what route to take, how would you handle this, what should I do here. So it was very rewarding yesterday to talk to a bunch of young people who are truly interested in some things that we are lucky to do every day.
So what were the best questions, or were there any questions that surprised you?
I think the question that kind of surprised me is someone was already asking me about burnout. And, you know, this is someone in their, you know, early 20s. Like, hey, I can see a situation where if you're doing so much, particularly when you're on all the time, when you can get burned out from doing that, which is a very fair question. How do you handle that? How would you handle that? So I had to think about it for a second and answer the question, but I thought it was very interesting for someone who is that young. I mean, you know how it is when you're younger, right? Like, you don't really think about burnout or taking a break. You're just like, work, figure this out. And someone was already saying, I can see how this might be a lot. How would you handle it? So that kind of caught me off guard, but it was a good question.
I wonder if, and I'm sure this is a question that like all generations have had about like the younger generation is, I wonder if like the younger generation is going to have as much grit. And I'm not saying that like I had a ton of grit. I am just saying that like the news business was so difficult and challenging and brutal at times, where, you know, they ask you to do all this work and you work all these hours for such little pay. Like, it's literally the poverty line. And I understand like things are getting better, but I just wonder if some of these kids have the grit. Because now we live in an era of like instant gratification, where like I feel like people can't even imagine living 5 years like that. before like getting their big break, because people go viral all the time, and they're, you know, kids are used to like seeing the instant success, where most of the time it's not instant success. There was years of work in the making behind that moment. But I don't know. Like, if somebody told me how hard I would have had to work in my 20s to get to where I am now, like, I don't know if I would have done it. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a very tough business at the start.
Oh, 1,000%. And the one thing I left them with was, like, you're going to get all sorts of advice, but the one thing that I will say that will hold you down and keep you going is that if you're going to get into this, you have to love the craft. Like, if you're in it because you want to go viral or you want people to look at you, hey, some of that may come with the job, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. It feels good, all that. But the one thing that will keep you going is if you go into this with the right motivation, which is, no, I really love journalism. Like, I love storytelling. Mm-hmm. I really have a passion for putting something together, be it off camera, on camera. If that's your true motivation, you're going to be fine. If it's not, then you might have a tougher time than you expected, which I think is pretty true.
Yeah. I remember a lot of people tried to, like, dissuade me from being in the business. Like, I remember the first internship I had. Like, the guy sat me down. He was like, listen, this is a really tough business. You kind of have a Southern accent. So, like, I don't know if this is for you. But, like, that's the best thing to say to somebody who is very competitive. I was like, oh, really?
Oh, yeah?
You think I can't
is
make
that right?
it? Watch and see.
And here you are now. So you took it and you ran with it, and now we're rocking and rolling here on the show. Well, is anyone telling Dabo he shouldn't be a college football coach anymore? We predicted this over the weekend when Clemson lost to Georgia Tech. We were talking about different coaches, Brian Kelly kind of going off after the win against Florida. And we said, you know what, just wait until Dabo gets behind the microphone after this loss. Once he's had some time to sort of pontificate, think about it, get some feedback. So yesterday during his press conference at Clemson, he had a message for all of the haters.
If they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way, because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good? I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we a little down right now, take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. This is a program built to last, always has been, always will be. And I would just say, if you give up on us, if you don't believe on us because we've lost 2 games down to the last straight and we're one, you didn't believe in us anyway, so it don't matter. You wasn't all in anyway. If you're all in, you burn the ships, man. There ain't no exit strategy. Like, you're freaking all in. And hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they send me on my way, but I'm gonna go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all gonna have to deal with me for a while. I got a long way to go. I'm just getting going. I'm just now good enough to be a head coach.
He's just now good enough to be a head coach. I'm 55. I'm not going to the beach. I'm going to keep coaching. Is that good? I'm just curious. Is that good? Oh my God. I love this from Dabo. It's sort of ridiculous, but I felt like we knew it was coming.
It feels very on brand, right? Because like we've seen crash outs from Dabo before where he was, you know, making that decree that if the players start to get paid, I'm going to quit. And then he didn't quit. So we have seen him make these false promises before. But this sounds like somebody who is trying to, you know, when people say advice and you can tell it's like for themselves, people do this on social media all the time where like somebody makes a post where it's like all this motivational stuff. And you're like, is this for yourself? Are you yourself going through a hard time? Because that's what it sounds like. So I think this is him trying to like manifest it to himself because he is right. Like he does have a big resume. But the thing is, if you are really confident in yourself and you're really confident in your abilities, you don't have to tell people. Like what's that like joke about the people who make those really long posts about their relationships? Those are the worst relationships. If you have to like spin zone everything and prove it to people that you guys are in love, you're probably not in love. So I think he's feeling a little insecure.
I think this comes with, it's sort of the common denominator with this and Brian Kelly is do you not appreciate what I've done or what we're doing. Like Brian Kelly kind of had that same mentality, which is we just beat Florida, an SEC game at night, okay? And your first question is about having trouble converting on third down? Are you serious? And it's kind of the same mentality with Dabo, which is, okay, we lost to Georgia Tech. We've won the conference title, what, 7, 8 out of 10 years? We've won national championships. Where's the appreciation? Do you think just anyone can do this? Do you think just anyone can show up here and win games? Yeah, we had a setback, but maybe appreciate what we've done. I think that's sort of the overarching thought here from both guys, and I know Brian Kelly apologized, but we've heard this from Dabo before where it's he feels like, and I do understand to a point, that what he has done, what he has accomplished has not been fully appreciated by Clemson fans, but at the same time, this is the job. Like, this is why you get paid millions of dollars, because you're always going to deal with blowback. If you lose games you should not lose, particularly in what is supposed to be a national championship season. So that's also part of it.
Well, and that's kind of the culture in college football. Like, how many coaches have won a national championship and got fired within the next 5 years? There's been several.
Yeah.
Especially in, like, the SEC and, like, these big-time schools, which I know Clemson's not the SEC, but, like, it's a big-time program. Like, look at LSU. Look at Auburn. Gene Chizik. He was gone in, like, what, 2 years? So here's the thing. You can talk about your resume all day, but when it comes to college football, it's what have you done for me lately?
Oh, absolutely. And that's the way it's always going to be. And especially now, it's probably going to get a little worse because now you're talking about paying players. So if you have guys who are contributing to NIL or you have universities raising all this money, it's okay. Well, why are we paying all this money if you're not going to win? So that adds an extra layer of pressure. So when it comes to the NFL, there's always pressure at the halftime of the Super Bowl, right? You got to perform. You're right there on a big stage, biggest stage in the world. They don't pay people who perform because the just the natural, I guess, the attention that comes with performing at the Super Bowl is worth millions and millions of dollars in advertising. So we say this because the Super Bowl halftime show is going to be announced soon. It's coming up. And there are odds. You can bet on this if you want. Not at BetMGM. You can look around. But right now, Taylor Swift is the favorite at minus 125. Dua Lipa is plus 750. Miley Cyrus, Sabrina Carpenter, Charlie XCX, each 10 to 1. Billie Eilish, 11 to 1. And Oasis, 12 to 1. What's going to be funny is everyone thinks it's going to be Taylor Swift, which maybe could be the case, but it will be a little bit odd if the Chiefs aren't there, which is a real possibility. Who do you think? Who do you want to perform at the Super Bowl?
I feel like any other answer like is insignificant because everybody wants Taylor Swift. Like, it makes too much sense with the hand-in-hand relationship that she has had with the NFL over the past couple of years. But my question is, does this even mean anything to her? You know, she's not somebody who needs this type of publicity. If she does one show, she's going to make millions of dollars and she commands that type of money. You know, all these shows are sold out and this is how she makes money. She just went on tour. So do you think she wants to get back into the act of, like, you know, rehearsing and doing all the hard work because she puts on a great show? So I don't know if it makes sense for her to do it. She doesn't need the attention, but it will be a disappointment for whoever fills those shoes because everybody's going to want Taylor Swift.
I want Miley. That's who I want. I love Miley Cyrus. I'd like Sabrina Carpenter, too. Like, I think Sabrina's a lot of fun. Her stuff is super poppy, obviously. But I think Miley would be awesome because she has more of a catalog of hits that go back. I mean, she's been around forever, which sounds crazy to say, but she really has been because she started so young. I love Miley Cyrus. Billie Eilish, I feel like, wouldn't work just because it's kind of not her vibe. Like, she's more of a chill vibe as opposed to, like, this big, grandiose, spectacular performer like that. It's not really her style. Double D is screaming for Oasis. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to choose Oasis, but I feel like Taylor is the obvious choice. I'm not going to be disappointed if it's Taylor. It kind of it would make sense.
Right, because she has so many hits, and she applies to so many demographics. She is family-friendly. Because that's the thing, for the Super Bowl, it needs to be somebody who has more than like two songs that people know. Because that would be my complaint about Sabrina Carpenter, is that I don't think she's been around long enough and has enough bona fide hits where people can sing along. Because wasn't that the only knock on like Kendrick Lamar, is that he had the song of the year? And for that, I totally get why the NFL would want him there. But unless you're super into Kendrick Lamar or you're really into rap, like a lot of his other songs you probably hadn't heard of. And I feel like that's what makes a great Super Bowl halftime show, is that there's a bunch of songs you've heard of, they're all hits, and a bunch of demographics know the performer.
Yeah, and Charlie XCX, the only thing I know from her is Apple.
Because that was popular on TikTok.
The Apple song. Yes. Oh, my God.
That's it.
How many times did I shoot the lovely Catherine doing the Apple dance? A million.
Mm.
And now the new dance that we've learned is Gnarly by Cat's Eye. I've shot that a couple times. Hell, I know half that dance because I've shot it so many times and watched that video so many times. But I feel like if you have just a TikTok song or, you know, one or two songs max, like how in the world are you going to have a Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah, I think Dua Lipa, Lipa makes sense here. I think Miley Cyrus makes sense here. But I worry about Dua Lipa being too sexual. I don't know if you've seen like the way she dances.
I'm not.
But hell, I mean, we've had J-Lo and Shakira, and they didn't, you know, take anything too PG. So we'll see. I think she does low-key have a lot of hits, though. Dua Lipa.
Yeah, she does. And has had for a while. And she's had a lot of collaborations as well. They should do Super Bowl halftime, grown and sexy style. And then we have Dua Lipa do whatever she wants to do. I think that would be great. Denton says he feels about sexy. Dua Lipa the way Dylan feels about Sydney Sweeney. I mean, I like Dua Lipa as well. That's a very good take. I agree. She's excellent.
Well,
she'd be great. Yeah, she's yes, she is. She's very attractive. And also, as
Sydney
far as like putting
Sweeney
on a show. Why not? She just walks around. You know, they play instrumentals.
These jeans are the best jeans. I'm Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah!
And this is the Super Bowl halftime show. Her voice in that American Eagle ad is just...
is amazing.
It's too easy to make fun of.
It's amazing. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I've seen the TikToks of people doing that. It is funny, though. Coming up next year on the show. Oh, you know what time it is. We'll tell you what we've been streaming and which of those shows are winning. That is next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Stay right there.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back on a Wednesday. It is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Coming up on the show, might not have any football this evening, but that doesn't mean there's nothing worth watching. My streaming corner is on the way. And we're all going to chip in. We all have things we like to stream from time to time. Oh, man, what am I going to do today? You know what I have to do? I have to, which is not, I don't know why I'm complaining about this, because it's not, it's a whine about it Wednesday, but this is not a complaint. But I have some friends of mine, my friends Aaron and Laura, who are in town, used to live here, moved to Austin, now they're back. So I'm trying to figure out a time to see them today between an appointment and working on this show. But they're going to a Nats game at 4. So I think what I'm going to do is, I might end up going to the game. I think if I can squeeze everything in, maybe I can go to the game for... Yeah, it'll be over in like 2 hours, but I may do that. I don't know why I'm just talking through this, but I feel like it's a good problem to have. It's just I kind of get overwhelmed. I want to make sure I see my friends, but I also want to get my stuff done. So I'll figure it out. I'll work through it, Chelsea. It's not the worst thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a good problem to have, because I'm still trying to keep up with like the Game of Thrones tree of your friends, because it feels like you have a lot and you always mention them by name. So I'm always like, oh, I wonder if I've heard of these people. And these are new people to the situation where I haven't heard of them before. So it sounds like you have a ton of friends. As for me, like, I think you can name my friends on one hand. Like, I essentially have, like, three friends. Maybe four, and two are in my family. Like, I'm going to count my husband as a friend. Can I do that?
Okay, let's go five. Let's go five.
Right. I got a starting five of friends, but that's it. But I think being a parent can be, like, a little isolating because, like, my whole life is taking care of my daughter. You know, yeah, so, like, I can't just, like, bop on over and get drinks. But it's a good problem to have that you are wanted in all of these circles and that all these people reach out to you.
Yeah, it is very kind. It's just also, there's also like, I feel pressure, you know, like I got to make this happen. I want to make sure this person's taken care of, you know, I see them. So it's not a bad thing. It's just trying to squeezing it in during the week is what makes it tough. Do you know what I mean? Because we wake up so early and so trying to sort of, okay, I want to see you guys, but also I'm not going to stay out till God knows when tonight. But yeah, it's a good thing. And maybe we'll squeeze in some baseball as well. Some real great baseball with the Nationals.
Nats baseball.
Nats baseball. Catch the fever. All right. I'm sure they're going to pick that one up. Okay. It is a Wednesday, so we got Wine About It Wednesday coming up. But first, let's find out what's playing on the old streaming corner.
What are you watching?
We enter Jenk's Streaming Corner, where Jenk and Chelsea tell you what should and should not be streaming here on the Daily Tip.
What are you watching?
So we watched this the other night. Actually, not true crime related. AKA Charlie Sheen on Netflix. So this is a two-part documentary that runs about 3 hours. Like, it's long. And it chronicles his life in Hollywood, which is absolutely crazy. Like, going back to his early days when he was this Hollywood star and always has been a Hollywood star, but really chronicles how wild he's been and all of his drug addiction. And I got to tell you, these stories, remember when he was, even a few years ago, when it was winning and he's got tiger blood and he's just on this drug-fueled, like, rant, rage, just drug after drug after drug. It's amazing he's not dead. So he goes through all of this. He's very candid. At the end, he reveals some things that he's never talked about before on camera. But they talk to Denise Richards, his former wife. They talk to John Cryer, former co-star on 2.5 Men. And I mean, he definitely agreed to this. He can be very charming. There's no question about it. But also, he's done some really bad things that result from his drug use. And I don't know how this guy is still with us after what he's done. But it is a very good watch if you're interested in what his journey has been during his Hollywood career, because he's been a star since he was a kid, essentially.
Yeah, absolutely. And an A-lister. And he comes from an A-list family as well. Isn't his dad Martin Sheen? So, like, he's grown up in Hollywood. So, like, that's not shocking to me that he's done a bunch of, like, crazy things. I think we kind of knew that. My question is how many more of these stories will we get? Because I feel like they don't make celebrities like they used to. Like, remember when VH1 Behind the Music was a thing and it was about all these rock bands where, like, they would break up, the band broke up because somebody was sleeping with somebody's wife and they had a drug problem and they just had all these wild issues. And I'm not saying that celebrities and rock stars don't have issues anymore, but number one, feels like we don't have rock stars anymore. And number two, I feel like mental health and like being a good person is more in style now. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like it kind of added some mystique to celebrities and rock stars back in the day. Now people want to cancel those type of people. So I'm trying to think, like, who's going to be the next celebrity that has that type of, like, biopic years and years after they're famous? God. Like, the only person I can think of is, like, maybe Justin Bieber. Because, like, he's had, like, an up and down road of, you know, he was on top. He's had, like, some weird instances. And he has, like, connections to, like, Diddy. So I feel like maybe Justin Bieber fits the bill. But other than that, like, who's going to be next on these biopics?
Someone's got to step it up. Who's going to be the next drug-addled person? I can't even tell. Like, at one point, this is not giving too much away, but at one point, they tried everything, rehab, intervention. And it's really sad, too. Like, Denise Richards definitely still loves him. Like, she's just heartbroken by the whole thing. Like, you can tell. It's really tough to watch. And she admits it. Like, it's... But at one point, he was doing so much, like, crack cocaine that the guy who was his dealer that he would party with every night, like, basically to wean him off slowly because they tried everything and it didn't work, was they would give him like a certain amount of crack cocaine, and then as they were mixing it, putting it together, whatever, I'm probably not using the right terminology, they would slowly lessen the dose over time, like over like a year and a half, so he wouldn't know the difference, and so he wouldn't get as high as he would have maybe a few months earlier, and they slowly kind of weaned him off that way, where at one point he's like, this isn't having the same effect on me, maybe I'll quit. Like, they went to extremes like that just to get him off drugs, and then there's always that risk that he'll jump right on again. It's just, it's one fantastical story after the other.
Yeah, remember when like every celebrity would go to like Promises Malibu? I used to like remember reading about that and like the what is it, like Us Weekly and all that. Like, that was like the hot rehab center. I don't know if that's still a thing. Do people still go to rehab? I feel like that's not like, it's not as popular like for celebrities. Like, I understand people go to rehab, but it's not like the A-listers. Like, I'm waiting to see like one of the A-listers go, and maybe they're just better at keeping secrets. That could be it.
Well, John Mulaney, didn't he go? I know he had an intervention, that's for sure. I don't know if he went to... I think he went to rehab. Yeah, I think he did. He's like the most recent one where his friend sat him down
and talks about it.
He talks about it a lot. So I think that's a more recent one. What about you? What have you been streaming?
Well, during football season, I feel like I don't have time to stream a bunch of things, but I'm back on my comfort watches, which means like shows that I fall asleep to. So shows that I've already seen, so I don't feel bad if I fall asleep. So we have the rotation of Parks and Rec, we have The Office, which I'm on now, we have 30 Rock, and we have Modern Family. So now we're on The Office, and I was just telling you guys, yesterday was the episode where Michael grilled his foot on the Foreman grill. It's funny to me how The Office is so well written that I almost think that you enjoy it more the second time through. Like, do you know those type of shows that I'm talking about? Where it's you miss little things, and the second time you're like, oh my God, that's genius. Because I remember watching The Office when it first came on and when it was on live on NBC, and I was like, show's stupid. Like, I haven't laughed out loud once, but it's very, like... I don't know, because sitcoms used to tell you when to laugh. It was like, there's a laugh track. It is very obvious when there is a joke, as opposed to like shows like The Office and now most of those NBC shows where it's more nuanced.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's more subtle too, right? Like, you'll go back and watch it a second time and not notice it the first time and realize, like you were saying, the genius that it takes to sort of slide something in or something that... And that's kind of the brilliance too, which is it's not supposed to be obvious. Like, it's supposed to see if you can pick up on it. And it's much easier to go for the big laugh or to go for something that's obvious, you know, like a laugh track or something that, okay, this is an obvious joke, as opposed to, we're going to see if you get this. It could be a throwaway line, could be a couple of words, it could be a reaction, and you're like, oh my God, that's so good. Yeah, it could be a look too.
And I wonder, like, what the directions are for the actors. Because, like, imagine being an actor. And you're used to, like, doing things a little bit bigger, because, like, that's how I always thought, like, stage actors were. Is, like, you do things a little bit bigger, and in The Office, they're probably like, you need to go smaller. Like, just do a look. Don't say anything. Yeah. Just simply look into the camera as Jim Halpert.
Right? Exactly. Well,
so,
I mean,
it's,
The Office
it's
is always
a different
watch.
Yeah.
And also, aren't you watching, what is it, not The Office, it's the new one, what's it called, The Paper? What's it
the
called?
Paper.
The new one on
I've already finished it.
The Paper?
The
Oh,
paper.
Yeah. And it's good, right?
It's very, very similar. Like, it is, like, almost a carbon copy. It's different characters, but it's, like, the same premise and the same sense of humor.
Okay. I can't decide if I want to fire up something else or not, because I've got about four different... Like, we're in the middle of Yellow Jackets right now. We're in the middle of The Pit. We're about to finish Yellow Jackets. Thank you, Double D, for that, by the way. Because I'm using his streaming service, because he's a good man. Also, we got The Pit. Also, we've got a Dateline that we need to watch, which whatever, we can watch that anytime. There's something else that we've been watching we kind of got into and got away from it. So I want to make sure we tie all the bows on those shows before we go into anything else, because I can, my attention span can only handle so much.
Didn't The Pitt win a bunch of awards? Like, didn't they just have, what is it, the Emmys? And the lead actor who used to be on ER won, like,
Noah Wiley.
I'm not in. What did he win? Like, best main actor? I don't even know the terminology.
Best actor,
and they were making
I
a big deal because they were like, yeah, they were making a big deal because it's been 20 years since he was even in the discussion, since back when he was on ER.
I mean, it's amazing in a similar program, but he's so good in this role. Like, immediately when you watch it, you're like, oh my God, like, you were built for something like this that requires. It requires so much acting intelligence to be able to act like you know what you're talking about, especially when it comes to medicine or being a surgeon. He's just brilliant at it, so I'm glad he got the win. Coming up next here on the show. Okay, it's time to whine about it. Our complaints are ready to be logged. We got some baseball coming up as well. It is next on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.